And if you have your Bible right there handy yet, let's open it up to the book of Philippians. I'm sure you, like me, have a bookmark in the book of Philippians by now. Philippians and chapter 2. Appreciate again as we worship on Father's Day that we could worship the Father and just be joyed again and in all that He does for us. As I said, this past week we was in church, 4 days last week, and it's a very moving preaching. A couple of my best friends, Lee Pickett being one of them again, and just the fellowship we had up there. And Dr. Grady is cut out of a different piece of cloth than other people. And he's quite the character, but he is genius again. And he is a noted author again. And I think there's a list of all of his books in his latest book here. Final Authority, What Hath God Wrought, How Satan Turned America, Given by Inspiration, good book, and Holy Ground, and now again, Perilous Times, Deep Truths for Shallow Waters. And so I've been going through this and saying, boy, this is good stuff. I have up here on our screen the slides for the rapture that we teach about in our Hunt for the Last October Bible Prophecy Conference each October. And between now and then, I'm going to read several excerpts that Grady has here from his new book and hope that it'll be an encouragement to it. We said Wednesday night, I think it was, in that service, that it's very possible that America will fall and be a communist country before the rapture of the church. Some of us don't like to think about that, but that is a reality. And we've seen everything set for the stages for the complete crumbling of America. I don't want to instill panic in anybody. But again, to understand that God's given us some promises about taking care of us even through that, and that was brought out very good on Tuesday night down at Dr. Grady's message, and even as an emphasis of his book, no matter what happens, he'll take care of us. And I want to carry that theme all through our summer here, that God will take care of us even as we see this world get more and more vile. And it surely is doing that. Daniel Webster, 1782 to 1852. That was the year I got here. No, well, it wasn't 1852. That was 1952, okay. Daniel Webster said, if we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we and our posterity neglect its instructions and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury our glory in profound obscurity. And so we're headed there. His first chapter, Dr. Grady's first chapter, is called The Last Latte. And you won't get the gist of why he named it that in my readings here, but it's a good story in itself. And let me read his opening paragraph. The central character in the oldest book of the Bible asks profound questions. Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know Him not see His day, Job said in chapter 24 and verse 1. Job reasoned that if God knows the times, why wouldn't those who know Him discern the same? In the heart of the Old Testament, the children of Issachar are commended for being men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, 1 Chronicles 12. During the gospel period, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for their lack of discernment. O ye hypocrites, he said, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he told them to insert, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, before they get to asking, give us this day our daily bread. apparently the Lord expects his people to know when he is doing something important. As David was told, when thou hearest the sound of a going forth in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, 1 Samuel 5:24. And so one of the things Brother Lee was talking about, an outing that they had this week where they went up and had thousands of military soldiers, and they were up handing out gospels at some event. And the reception they got was overwhelming. And people came up to him and said, "What is going on?" That's a burning question in people's heart. Listen, it oughtn't be a question in a Christian's heart. We ought to know. We ought to be able to discern the times and know what's going on. Let's open our Bibles again to Philippians chapter 2. Let's go ahead and pick up our study there. We had already begun 2, 3, 4, 5 pages. I'm never making it through 5 pages, but we'll enjoy the effort anyway. Look again as it says in verse 5, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. If you follow along in your Bible, I'll leave you remain seated. You look so comfortable there, and we've popped up and down several times already. Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, verse 5, which was also in Christ, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, that's again taking something that don't belong to them, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Never get over what the Lord Jesus Christ did for the likes of you. Never get over that he died. God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Remember in Luke 10, I just referenced this, I think, last week, where the 70 disciples were sent out and they came back and they marveled in front of Jesus that they could do miracles. They marveled that wonders were done. They marveled that even devils were subject unto them when they preached the gospel of the kingdom. And Jesus said to them this, "Marvel not that the devils are under your power. Marvel instead that your name is written down in heaven." Boy, never get over the fact that Jesus died for your sin. Verse 9, "Wherefore God has also highly exalted him." That was the first wherefore. Verse 12, that's the second wherefore we looked at last week. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed..." verse 13, "For it is God which worketh..." Oh, I got to get this one line in verse 12. "As ye always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And we looked at that last week and what it means to work out our salvation. It's best to let the Bible teach you what that is, by the way. And it's in the next verse. "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And then down in verse 15 it says, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights of the world." So we looked at that last week. Today, let's look starting in verse 16, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." Father, praise you again. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the joy that's found in the gospel. Thank you again, Father, that you have made us ministers of reconciliation, commanded us to go out and to preach the gospel to every creature. Father, as we labor at that, I pray again that you bless our labors, open our heart and mind, that we'd again take opportunity to let our conversation be turned into the gospel of Christ, even this week. And Father, we'll praise you and thank you for your touch on lives here. And Father, the joy and rejoicing that we find in the gospel message. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. As I started this again series, I mentioned that rejoicing is the theme of this book. It's found again more than the other books. Again, the rejoicing that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I commented again that to rejoice is a verb, and the noun for that is to have joy. That's something we have. And so those two words, again, are the same in Greek. But again, to understand that, hey, we have rejoicing, that's something we do. And we have joy, that's something that settles in our soul, praise the Lord. And that's the theme of this little book. We found it emphasized over and over again in chapter 1, along with the message of the gospel. And so we joy and rejoice in the gospel. Now, chapter 2, we've looked at what Christ did, and spent some time in the theology again of who Christ was, and that he was God in the flesh, and then looked at the wherefore, that God said that every knee is going to confess, every tongue is going to confess, every knee is going to bow. And now we're looking at this second wherefore again, that we ought to work out our own salvation, and secondly again, that in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation, we should again carry the word of life. And so as we pick up this theme, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, we want to look at here in verse 16, holding forth the word of life. We already looked last week at all the things we could hold forth in this day and age, and understand that, hey, we could be doomsday people. We could, again, be talking about the end of the world and teaching the world, again, about all the wrath of God that's going to pour out. But listen, God didn't commission us to do that. God commissioned us to preach the gospel. That stands for good news, is how we say that again. And so we are, again, to be people who offer good news. And sometimes, when we're in perilous times, we can get the horse before the cart. I guess a cart before the horse, I guess it would be. And we could again be doomsday people ourselves. Don't be that. And you got to take a conscious effort. And again, that hey, we've got a different mission here. Our mission is to give this word of life to people, and encouragement and strength in a day of gloom and darkness. That I may rejoice, he said, in the day of Christ. Do you see that line there? Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. There are several days coming here. We are in the last days, and we are in the last of the last days. We believe that and see that. And that's where I talked to Brother Fielder this week, and he mentioned the same thing I had said in another message, was that in 1 Timothy there, it talks about the perilous times that we're living in. And Paul wasn't talking about, hey, I'm in perilous times. He was talking to Timothy saying, hey, before the coming of the Lord, there's going to be perilous times. And in there, he gave 19 things that's gone utterly wrong there in two verses. 19 things that's going to be vile and degenerate in this day that we live in. And boy, you can almost run a checklist down through all 19 today and find them in the Corning Leader this morning. So again, understand that, hey, we are right on the edge of perilous days, but our message hasn't changed. What we're to preach and teach is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of life. And we do that for this reason, because we want to be rejoicing in the day of Christ. Interesting, Schofield has a big note on that verse and says, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. And if you do that, you find a whole list of places where this day of Christ show up in the Bible. The day of Christ relates to the reward and blessing of saints at His coming. The day of the Lord refers to a coming day of judgment. But the day of Christ refers to, again, a day of reward. And it's something that we look forward to. A day of judgment is perhaps something we look at out of our eye and say, ooh, boy, I don't know. That's pretty scary. Paul gives both again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Remember, we reviewed them when he said, wherefore do we labor? And the first reason is because we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He's coming with his reward is with him, the Bible says. And so we're looking for that day of reward. But also we do that because we know the terror of the Lord. And then the third reading again was that the love of Christ constraineth us. For those three reasons it's given that we again labor with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's look at this first one more time. Again, the coming day of Christ, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And again, that relates to the reward and blessing of the saints at His coming. Acts 2 and 20 says, the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And so the day of the Lord is speaking of that judgment day. The day of Christ, mentioned here in our text, is speaking of, again, the reward that Christ is coming to bring to us. That, again, is at the rapture of the church. We're caught up to be with Him in the clouds, in the air. We meet Him in the cloud. And then we go on to what's called the Bema Seat Judgment that Paul brings up. And it's modeled after the Bema Seat that was mentioned there in the Roman Olympics. And so again, we call it that Bema Judgment. That's where our works are judged and we're rewarded. Some are going to suffer loss, but there's going to be rewards handed out to that judgment. And then after that, there's the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. After that comes again, where we jump on a horse and we ride back with the Lord Jesus Christ to a battle called the Battle of Armageddon. So it's good for a Christian to have those things in view, and we'll review that same order when October gets here in our 21st, second or third hunt for the last October, starting in 98. And so again here, I guess that'd be the 24th. This will be our 24th hunt for the last October Bible Prophecy Conference. First Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5 says, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Remember, they had one that was living in sin and they were to kick him out of the church and deliver him unto Satan. Now, this was a individual that was a member of their church, was saved, but was now living in sin. And God says here, through Paul, deliver such an one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord again, and that, or Lord Jesus, and that's talking again about this time of Christ, day of Christ, day of the Lord Jesus, a day when He comes again to receive His own. 2 Corinthians 1:14 says in, well, 13 starts, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end, he says, verse 14, as also you have acknowledged, as in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And so again, that day of Christ, that day of the Lord Jesus, is a day of rejoicing, a day of reward. Now let's look at it here in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. We've already come across a couple of these. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, if you looked at your text, it would say, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, praise the Lord, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so we see again that emphasis. Look down at verse 10. same chapter, and you notice it says another mention of that day of the Lord, day of Christ. It says that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And that's a day of reward. Chapter 2 and verse 16 is where we're at this morning. And it says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. There is a reward coming to those who labor for the Lord. We got a couple minutes. Let's go ahead and look at 2 Thessalonians. Hold your place there and in Philippians and turn back a couple pages to 2 Thessalonians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I just heard a preacher commenting about how Bible ignorant people are today, and some of us don't even know the books of the Bible. I so riddled with guilt that I went home and started singing that song, and it still stuck with me. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. Let me start in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, remember again, Paul was writing to Thessalonica because they were confused about this day of the Lord. They were confused about the second coming of Christ. They were confused about the rapture, and he clarifies that in no uncertain terms in the First Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, brethren, chapter 2 Thessalonians 2, 2. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, And by our gathering together unto him, praise the Lord, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. And so, listen, the day of Christ is at hand. Two things I need to say about that, and I suppose the first one I ought to say, because all of you know that C.I. Schofield is my hero. I mean, he did all his Bible searches without a computer search engine, praise the Lord, and gave these Schofield notes that I have before me. However, on this note again, he said that the Bible is wrong. He said, this one should not be the day of Christ. It should be the day of the Lord. He said, this does not speak of the reward. This speaks of the judgment coming of the Lord. And indeed, that is some of the chapter here. But C.I. Schofield was wrong. And when he's wrong, I like to take note of that and put a great big note in my Bible. All four of them again. And so here's another one that I just added this week. To understand that he had this mistake. Here's what he said over in Corinthians 1:8. He said, the day of Christ is given incorrectly by the authorized version in 2 Thessalonians 2:2. He said that the authorized version is incorrect, and he wants to fix the Bible. And so here's what he says, that this word should be day of the Lord. Well, I went to my Greek again. I got in trouble for saying something about the Greek Bible while we was up there in Rome, or up in Rome, up in the Watertown. And I stand by it again. So there is some tremendous uses of understanding a little bit of the original languages of the Bible. And so I went back again to my Greek Bible, and sure enough, it says Christos, the day of Christos, over here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's the day of Christ. Even the Greek originals don't say day of the Lord, but Schofield here said it's supposed to be day of the Lord. C.I. Schofield, in 1909, for him to suppose that the Apostle Paul should have written Day of Kurios, or Lord, when the Holy Spirit of God moved him to write Day of Christos, or Christ, is deeply troubling in this note. God says what he means, and he means what he says. The authorized version captures it right. And that's about the fourth time I had to correct Schofield to say again that the authorized version of the Bible is the correct version of the Bible and is trustworthy for every word. So let's leave that rabbit and chase this other one. Again, he says there in that verse in Thessalonians that... Notice what it does say. Let's look at that verse again. That you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled. What is it that could shake a Christian in mind or trouble them? First off, again, notice that it is that by any spirit, neither by spirit. Listen, you are led into the words of God by a spirit, capital S. This here spirit has a little s, and there is a spirit in man, again, that you need to be careful of. My grandson just sicked me on a message of 5 points of Clark. Oh, yeah, that was some good preaching. Again, and to understand that, hey, man will deceive us. Man will lead us down the wrong path, as John Calvin did, the whole Presbyterian church, and now there's a bunch of Baptists hounding after Calvinism. Man will lead and has led in wrong paths. And so here, that's a wrong spirit. And be careful, there are wrong spirits out there. Look at the next thing. Nor by word. There are wrong preachers out there. There are preachers that preach lies. There are preachers that don't preach the truth. And be careful. Again, it's good to have your Bible open to make sure your pastor is teaching the words of God and rightly dividing the word of truth. And so some steer people awry with words and not by as a letter. Notice what he says about this letter, nor by letter as from us. There were fake letters already when Paul wrote this that were not Bible, but were trying to be passed off as Bible. And listen, in my studies, I found that it's not the Holy Roman Catholic Church that figured out what should be Bible and what shouldn't be Bible. It was the apostles who did that, and they are the foundation, and everything that they blessed, we have in our book. Everything that they cursed, again, we do not have in our book. And so be careful. There are misleaders in this world. And listen, you can lose your reward in the day of Christ by following after false teachers. So that's enough on that. Again, as we look at this, notice again that there is a reward for those who have, again, the gospel in the right standing in their testimony. It is a day for our reward. It is not a day of judgment. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 10, you might take note at least of the reference of this. Behold, the Lord God will, and that's Lord Adonai, in other words, He owns me. And God, that's Jehovah God. Again, that's one of those instances when the word Lord is not used for God, Jehovah. It is used here as our Adonai, our owner. Behold, the Lord Adonai, God, Jehovah, will come with strong hand. And listen, and His arm shall rule for Him. Don't take too much study to recognize that that's the Christ. His arm is the Christ, and it shall rule for Him again on the throne of David. Behold, His, that's that arms, His reward is with Him and His work before Him. And so that's speaking again of the day of Christ when His reward is with Him. Isaiah 62:11. Watch the same wordings. Behold, the Lord Jehovah hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughters of Zion, behold thy salvation. who's God's salvation? That again is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy salvation cometh. Behold, His reward. That salvation guy, His reward is with Him and His work before Him. Two references there. Two more. New Testament, Luke chapter 6 and verse 23. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in this like manner did His Father unto the prophets. Verse 22, by the way, says this: blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. We're living in that day, and we need to understand that. And again, keep our joy and keep our gospel. One more, look with me at Revelation, the last chapter of the book, praise the Lord. And you might want to turn there and have this verse marked in your Bible. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12 says this: and behold, I come quickly, praise the Lord. And my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be done. And so notice here again that this day of Christ is the day of our reward. Remember again, we were told that we labor with the gospel because we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to get reward for that. I almost didn't mention this, but I'm going to anyway, just because we got 2 minutes left and I can fit it in here. There's 3 5-9s in the Bible. We cover this over and over again in our hunt for the last October for 24 years. Now, we've been examining 3 5-9s. Let's look at them there today. The first one, again, is 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. I hope these are already marked in your Bible. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Listen, even if God's judgment falls out on America, I want you to know, for you a believer, God hath not appointed us to wrath. God said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And even if our country crumbles, and it looks like, again, the crumblers are in place, and again, the crumble has already started. I don't think they can pull it back out. Again, God says, I'll take care of you. We are not appointed to wrath. Romans 5:9, second 5:9 says, much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so we're not appointed to wrath. He will save us from wrath that's going to fall out on America, lest indeed he have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Hebrews 5 and verse 9, the third 5:9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And so again, those 3 5-9s assure us that if we've obeyed him, that we're not appointed under wrath. Have you obeyed him? John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I saith unto you, he that believeth on, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Of course, we're looking for the rapture that could happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And it's very possible it could happen today. As we've seen in our hunt for the last October, every year, the next event, the next moment, in a twinkling of an eye, as a thief, it says in 1 Thessalonians. It's interesting. Grady, one of his chapters, said when they came to the garden to take Jesus, they took him as a thief. He said, what, come you out here to take me as a thief? When they nailed him to a cross, they nailed him between two thieves. And so again, when he comes, he's going to come back as a thief in the night. Curious. A body snatcher, he's been called, when he comes to catch his own away and will be gone. So we're going to meet him in the clouds, and there's going to be a bema seat where rewards are given out and some losses are recognized. And then there's the marriage supper of the Lamb that's spoken of in Revelation 19 and a return with him on horseback to the battle of Armageddon. Those are the things that's laid out for the Christian. And we don't know exactly where they're going to fit into this world, but we know again that it could happen today. That's the next tick on God's time clock, is again the rapture of the church and the removal. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit, which is in us, is removed from this world, that the things that break out on this world are almost like the Rodney King things that broke out in Los Angeles again when they destroyed the whole city in riots. And so again, this world's not going to be a place you want to be when the Holy Spirit is removed. Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, holding forth the word of life. What is the word of life? I'm glad you asked that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's say that verse together. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Boy, enjoy that verse. Live in that verse. Rehearse that verse. It goes on to say, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. People need to be saved, and they need to hear that message. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Praise the Lord. But he that believeth not is condemned already. You're going to walk past this week some condemned already people. Boy, again, they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from life or death unto life. Isn't it great to be saved? Let's be rejoicing as we're looking for the day of Christ. Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you again, Father, for your word. Thank you for the encouragement and strength we find there. Bless now as we've looked at these things and rejoiced in your great promise to us and in your commission to us to go out from here and to preach your gospel. Give us the compassion of Christ. Give us again a knowledge of the terror, your terror. And give us again, Father, just a knowledge that we're going to appear before your seat and give answer for what we did with our salvation testimony. And we'll praise you in the name of Christ. Amen. Let's stand and dismiss. Boy, it's good to be saved. Hallelujah. And again, to recognize that we have cause for rejoicing. Rejoice not that you have power over evil. Rejoice not that you have power over sickness, but rejoice in this rather again, that you have eternal life and your name is written down. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Lord bless you. Happy Father's Day. And tell someone Happy Father's Day. And tell someone that the Lord saved you today. Praise the Lord.